Folks, if you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out. Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance for help. I didn't track my results. Here we go. Okay, Wendy, we get asked this all the time. People haven't done a good job of tracking their results historically, and they want to be able to create their resume, but they don't have good history, right?
Yeah, last week we covered how to track your results. So if you listen to this and you're thinking you fall in the I didn't track my results column or group, then go back and listen to last week's and at least start from now and then listen to this one.
Yeah. So the reason we say this is important is because a good resume has results in it. It has strong quantified results. And that quantification is important because it shows that you as the applicant knows what's important and you know how to get things done. It's not enough to talk about responsibilities. You have to show results. Responsibilities are the things that people who got fired from their job want to list because everybody who had the job has the same responsibilities. The people who excelled in the job have results. Okay, but you've got a resume. You realize now your resume is not that good, or as we like to say, your resume stinks. One of our early casts from 10 years ago. And you've been doing great in your job, but your resume doesn't show it because you haven't been tracking results historically. So what do people do?
Okay, so we're going to start with the other parts of the resume, and we'll explain why in a moment. But then we're going to list all the things that we did in each job. So that is responsibilities in one sense. And then finally, we're going to look at the results and quantify them to the best of your ability.
Okay. So starting with the other parts of the resume, I'm immediately frustrated a little bit. I want to get right to the answer, but I'll give you a little bit of leeway.
Well, the problem is if somebody is starting with a blank piece of paper, creating their whole work history is quite difficult, especially quantifying results, because that's quite a kind of abstract thing to immediately remember. So what we're going to do is start by creating a structure that begins to stir the memories of what you did so that we have something to hang the rest of the thoughts that we have on.
Good.
So start with the dates, the company names, and the job titles.
It sounds to me that I read that first sentence, start with the dates, company names, and job titles. And sorry, folks, I say sentence because I'm looking at the show notes. If you're a licensee, you don't have to listen to the show. You can actually download our guidance in written form. It's 3 or 4 or 5 pages in PDF with your name on it, in fact, if you're a licensee. But you say start with the dates, company names, and job titles. You're basically creating a skeleton.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just easier because you cannot do this in one setting, in one sitting. You are going to do this over the next 3 or 4 weeks probably. So every time you have a thought, and I can guarantee you will remember something random while you're doing the dishes or driving or in the shower, you need a place to write that down that begins to be the resume structure. And so, yeah, you need the skeleton first. And we're kind of assuming that people have nothing. But most people don't have nothing. Most people created a resume to get the job they have. And so you can go back to that resume and take the information out of there. And then there's all sorts of documents that you have that will also help you. So things like tax documents and
pay stubs,
personal email, information that you submitted to online services when you were looking for a job previously. And if you've got someone in your family with a really good memory, they can probably help you too. So the first thing to do is to kind of get that skeleton. And then the next thing to do is to start creating the responsibilities. And again, this is easier than doing the results. So we're trying to give our brain a chance to get into the idea that it has to dredge up some memories first. And if you can't remember exactly what you did, Monster is my favorite site for helping me with job description. So I go to Monster, I type in the job description, the job title, and I'm not searching for a job, but I look at all the job, all the ads for vacant jobs, and I use that to work out what the responsibilities of any one job will be. And usually I take two or three and I put them together depending on what I'm doing. But what you'll be doing is using that as inspiration for helping you remember what your responsibilities were in a job that was 10 years ago.
To be fair, though, if somebody reads something on Monster, a job description that they read on Monster, and they just love it, they have to be careful about not copying it verbatim and say, wow, that's really good description.
That's what I wish I was doing.
Yeah, you guys, you got to do this ethically, and you got to use that as inspiration to think, was that really part of my job or wasn't it? And the danger, of course, is you have a really great job description, and then you can't say you kicked tail in that job description. A person who has an effective resume, a big job that you didn't do a lot in, is not a good sign. We're looking not only at what job you had, but also at how well you did it. So if you suddenly have a magically big promotion and your job description sounds great, but the accomplishments you end up remembering are not as strong as that, you're giving with the one hand and taking with the other, and it's not a good choice. It may sound easy to come up with a great responsibilities paragraph, but the accomplishments are much more important than the responsibilities paragraph.
So what we're doing here is just creating that structure for you to work, to help you remember the time, you know, if I remember like three jobs back from this one, I actually have a tough time remembering who I served and what I was doing and who I worked with. And so I would need to start there and just, you know, wait for my brain to go, oh, there's a memory connected with this thing that I've just remembered. And so that's what we're doing. We're just giving a structure and then we'll gradually fill it in. But if you haven't tracked anything ever, this is going to be really hard. So,
and frankly, to be fair, we don't mind admitting, guys, that there's a limit to what we can do in terms of helping you. If you've had a 20-year career, and you don't remember anything about the first 10 years, you don't remember where you worked or anything else, there's not a lot we can do there, except to tell you, please don't repeat that in the next 10 years. Please start keeping track of your job description, keep copies of your annual reviews, you know, do what we do in terms of managing your career management document, where we say once a quarter, schedule a half an hour on your calendar, go over everything that's happened in the last 90 days, add a couple of bullets of accomplishments, whether they're good or bad, the best ones you've got. And that way, at the end of the year, you'll have a whole bunch of accomplishments and you can pick and choose from those that will determine which ones go on which version of which resume you send to which person, to which company.
Yeah. You don't have to have the perfect responsibilities before you move on to the next step. So don't think about perfection. Think about enough to help you move on to the next step, because as you just said, the accomplishments are much more important than the responsibilities. And you don't want to stop at this stage and be trying for perfection and not ever get to the to the accomplishments, because that would be a waste.
Okay.
So the next thing you do once you've got a structure and a rough paragraph of responsibilities for each one, then you need to start thinking about all the things you did. And here you want to be in kind of brainstorming mode. So you write everything you think of down, even if it's not a great accomplishment, you think, at this stage, just write it down, because in brainstorming, you can come up with much more things, many more things than you think you can, and you will have quite a long list. And the longer the list, the more choices you have about things to put on your resume.
One of the things is, you know, as you start putting together the skeleton, it'll begin to clue you in on things, and things tend to pop up at odd times. So you need to be ready. This is not, as Wendy said, it's not going to happen in one setting. So over the course of one sitting, and so therefore in the next month, be ready to write some stuff down. And look, guys, if you suddenly have a request for a resume and you haven't done one in 20 years, we're doing the best we can, but you've given us so little, it's going to be really hard. Please do resist the urge to elaborate, to embellish. It's only going to come back and bite you.
So when you're sitting thinking about the things that you did in a role, it can be helpful to think in different, sort of attack the problem from different angles. So if you think, okay, I'm going to spend 5 minutes thinking about what I did in this job. And in those 5 minutes, think about the people you worked with, and that will make you remember some projects or some activities that you did. And then the next time, think about time. So think about your first year in the job and your second year in the job, if you can remember them broken up that way. Not if it's a long time ago, it's harder to do. But if it's only 5 or 6 years ago, you can probably remember by time. And then the last way to think about it is what events happened. And sometimes it's a personal event, you know, you had a baby, or you had the holiday, the vacation of a lifetime, and you remember that you finished something before that vacation, or you started something, you know, when the baby was small or whatever. And so it can be really odd things that make you remember, but by attacking it different ways, that helps you kind of access those memories sometimes.
Okay, that's good. I like that.
So you just keep listing as many things as you think of, write down. You want to do the brainstorming, which is coming up with things, and then do the critiquing or the deciding part later.
Later.
Try and do those two things together.
Later. I'm sorry, I said that later. I said later, and I should have said later.
More.
I'd like some water on Saturday, please, Governor. Okay. Now we're going to start digging into listing the things, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Listing the things you did in each job. Okay.
Yeah. And again, this is going to be like the previous section in that you will remember things over time and you'll remember things in odd places. So just keep a printed copy around and just, you know, type it up once a month. Once a week, you can scribble on it when you remember something. And again, don't stop on this stage because it's not perfect. Nobody's is ever perfect, even the people who do keep good results.
Follow our guidance and everything else. Totally.
Yeah,
agree.
Exactly. So you can always change something. If you look at your resume a week after you submitted it to your dream job, which you got, you can find something to change. It's just one of those things. So the last thing is to quantify what you have to the best of your ability. So it's quite hard sometimes for people to understand how accurate quantification needs to be on a resume. And it doesn't need to be...
doesn't have to be perfect. You don't need 12% versus 11%.
No.
Yeah. Now, if you're not sure whether it's 12 or 19%, you need to put 11%, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Maybe an example would be helpful.
So, for instance, if you were in a project that involved training people, and so your job was to take all of the people in your division and make sure that they all got trained on this new system. And so you might remember that it was, you know, 50 people. Now it might have been 45 or 55, and 50 is fine. And you can use the what I call a tilde. It's kind of a wiggly
it's a tilde. It is a tilde or a tilde. Some people call it tilde. Most of us Americans who speak American English as opposed to British English would not use tilde, but approximately would be totally fine. Yeah.
I like the tilde sign because
it's shorter.
Yeah, yeah, it's only one character, right, on your resume. And if you trained 2,000 people, it's okay to be within 50, maybe, like, or even 100. You know, the difference between 1,900 and 2,200
is irrelevant to any recruiter ever or hiring manager.
Exactly. It's just a rough, it's not a guess exactly, but it's, you know, within, you know, 10%,
yeah.
I guess.
And it would be completely okay to say, you know what, I did that thing 3 weeks out of four. There were always 25 people in a session. It was always 3 days out of five. So that's 75 people a week times 3 weeks a month. That's what, 225. You did it for 5 months. And you say, you know what, that's 1,000, you know, it's 1,100. And it's okay. You don't have to say, well, I don't have any proof it's 1,100. You know every class was filled. You remember the classes being 25. Maybe you have a picture of one of the classes and you say, wow, there's 25 people in that class. And maybe you say, well, there were some days where there weren't that many people, so I'm going to give myself credit for 20. So I do 20 times 4 days, right? and then I multiply by 3 weeks and I come up with a number over 5 months. That's completely okay.
Yeah.
And you go overly conservative. You don't have to go from 500 to 100, but if you reasonably believe it was 500 and you want to say 350, that's fine. If they then call one of your references and they say, well, he trained 350 people, the chance that your boss will remember that is pretty slim. But more importantly, you'd say, well, the boss would say, well, actually, that's probably about right. He did about 5 months. There was, you know, number of classes each week. He did them 3 out of 4 weeks a month. So, yeah, it's probably somewhere between 300 and 500. So 350 sounds fair. There's not a recruiter or a hiring manager in the world that's going to have a problem with that. Now, if you say 1,000 when, in fact, the answer was 100, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
You're just doomed.
Is that order of magnitude?
That is exactly.
If there's
well
an extra
done,
zero.
Wendy, the person who can't do maths, save her life. Yeah, exactly. People talk about order of magnitude all the time, and all it means is 10x. 100 is an order of magnitude larger than 10, and 1,000 is an order of magnitude larger than 100. Yes, exactly so.
And if you're that far out, people will notice. But if you're 50 or 100 or, you know, it depends how big it is. If it was 10,000 and you're 500 out, it doesn't matter.
Irrelevant.
You know? Exactly. And then the other thing to think about when you're thinking about those projects or those things you do day to day, whatever you're trying to quantify, is to think about the metrics that you were counting. So it might have been when you were doing that training, you were thinking, okay, I've got 1,000 people to train, I'm on 500, I've got 4 more months of this, and I've got to get to this many. And the only thing you were thinking about was getting through training all those people. But that was still a project. So it still has the standard project metrics of on time, on budget, in scope. So think about those things as well. And, you know, if the plan was to finish in July and you finished in July, or you finished in the first week of August or the second week of August, that's on time over a 8-month project, essentially. And again, that's that kind of order of magnitude thing, which you can't do for time. But, if you're within a couple of weeks, that was on time.
Totally fine.
So think about those things as well, that the sort of standard metrics for whatever you were doing, not just the ones that you were counting. Because it might be that you want to go for a job that's a project manager job and you haven't ever been a project manager in title, but you want to be able to show that you understand how projects work. And so you want to be able to say, I finished this in time.
Then there's also some inferred metrics that are assumed but perhaps not tracked in different places. The example in the show notes is if you work in customer service, you never had a customer complaint, then you can say that's 100% customer satisfaction. It may not have been an important metric in the company you were working for at the time, but it might be important to the next company you send your resume to. And they might ask, what do you mean by 100% customer satisfaction? You could say, well, in those 9 months, I never had a single customer complaint against me. And I typically dealt with this many customers a day.
Yeah.
I typically had anywhere from 9 to 30 calls every day. So I rounded down to 10 just to be conservative. That's 50 a week, not counting a couple of hours at lunch. So we'll go to 45 a week. Some lasted longer than others. And over a 6-month period, 6 times 4 is 24 times 45. And you come up with a number. That's a rough example of how many people I served without, in fact, having a single complaint. And typical complaint ranges were in the range of 3 to 4%, and 0 was obviously appreciated by the organization. Now, folks, we're not suggesting you need to know all that when you put your resume together, but this thinking and this process of working out what you might be able to say will lead you to those kind of things, and then you need to be able to talk about that when somebody asks in an interview. There's a different level of detail that hopefully you'll come to as you start preparing your answers to the bullets that you have on your resume, because resume bullets tend to lead to interview questions. Now, obviously, you're going to get a lot more interview questions from your last 5 years than something 15 years ago, but you at least need to have a passing experience with it enough so that you can have a discussion about it.
Mm-hmm. And if the same example was that you did those 9 months of customer service and you think you got like a couple of complaints a month, you can call it 95%. If there was some metric like you had to convince 50% of customers not to leave and you're pretty sure that nobody ever told you you weren't hitting that, then you can say that you met the target.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nobody ever told you you were doing it wrong, then you were clearly doing it right. And whatever the target was, you were hitting. Again, it's not stated, it's inferred, but it's fine to do that.
Right. Good. Okay. I think that wraps it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's really short for us, and it's going to take someone who hasn't done their resume at all forever to do. But we've just given you kind of some direction to help you put it together and help you kind of try and remember what you did. And if you get stuck with those whole metric things, there's a bunch of people on the forums who can
happy
make
to help.
Suggestions.
Yeah. So don't forget, start with other parts of your resume, list the things you did in each job, create that skeleton, list the things you did, then go ahead and quantify to them to the best of your ability, use those approximations when you can, do some basic math if you have enough of an idea of what your daily or weekly workload is. And it is possible, even if you don't have records, to put together enough clues that you could create what amounts to a core career management document. Whatever you do, don't create a resume and then say that's the resume for everybody. Create a larger document that may be 2 pages long that you would then customize and take pieces and parts from all of it in order to customize it for different companies. If you don't know what we mean when we say career management document, you'll find that in one of our many pieces of guidance in the Map of the Universe on the website. And if you know you haven't done this now, I know you're plenty busy, your family, you've got kids, you've got work, and there's no time, and so on. But if you're watching TV, you have time to miss an evening of TV or two or three and spend the time now to create that career management document or some form of an initial resume so that 3, 4, 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, when you actually get a request for an interview, you are not scrambling to do what we just walked you through because you won't have time and it'll show. And a resume that's poor won't get you an interview.
And it will only get worse.
Yes.
Whatever state you're in, leaving it and not starting tracking now and not thinking about the past, you'll only get further away from it and have less memory of it. And you'll just get a longer time. It's like, do it now because in a year from now, it'll be twice as hard.
Exactly. Good. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Folks, I'm sure that's true of a lot of us. We didn't do a good job of keeping track of things. Hopefully this helps you get back on track. Don't make the same mistake again. See you next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.